Tag, okay, there's another, the themes are very, very relevant of Yaakov leaving the Ohel of Torah, Tefillah, and going out into the world, and his struggles with the world. They're so relevant to this yeshiva, yeshiva university. That's why it's very important. Thank you very much, Matthew. So it's very relevant to Yeshiva University, because the Rash whole Shita is that you do go out into the world, even though we have a track for Rabbanim. I remember when I was a student here, so I remember I was young, like you guys, you know. So I heard Robert the Rav, every year they gave it, I don't remember when it was, but there was an occasion that the Rav, Rabbi Soloveitchik, spoke for the students, and Rabbi Belkin, who was the president, he's the one who built the Yeshiva University into the massive institute. When he took over, it was just a college. He made it a university with medical school, graduate schools. He made it very big. So remember, they both got up and they both said the same thing. I don't remember what the occasion was, but it was the same thing. They both said like this: we're making a yeshiva like the Volozhin yeshiva. Volozhin was the main yeshiva in Europe. It was the original yeshiva of the Vilna Gaon's Talmidim, Chaim Volozhin, Vilna Gaon. And that created, that was the first big yeshiva in Vilna, in Volozhin. And from there came, now we have all the yeshivas, Lithuanian yeshivas, Lakewood, Panovich, it all comes from there. So he said like this, he says, we're making a yeshiva like Volozhin, and we're making a college, he said, I believe he said like Harvard. That was Rabbi Belkin. And the Rav said, I agree. And the Rav pointed out, he said, the way we're doing it here is the yeshiva, even though it's in the same building, is completely independent of the college. It's run like a regular full blast, real yeshiva. It doesn't have any college aspect. It's a regular Beis Medrash, regular shurim, like a regular yeshiva. A college that is going to be run like Harvard, a regular college. That's the way it was. Okay, I was a young fellow. I didn't really understand, you know, why they made that emphasis, why they emphasized the fact that even though it's called Yeshiva University, but really Yeshiva is a standalone institution, and the university is a standalone. They happen to be in the same buildings. So it basically meant to me, oh, it's in the same buildings, means it's convenient for boys who have to get on the subway and travel. It's in the same building. In the morning you have the yeshiva, after the college, but you're saving time, basically. But really, the university has nothing to do with the yeshiva, and it's not the university. That's what they were saying, and that, when I was here as a student, that's exactly what I saw, basically. Basically, I saw it. And it hasn't really changed that much since then. A little bit, but not that much. Pretty much the same. So really, it's the model of Yaakov. Because Yaakov's first half of his life, he was a Yoshev Ishtam, Yoshev Aholim. He had nothing to do with the Sada, with the big world out there. That was Esau's domain. Yaakov himself was only yeshiva. Then he left. Yitzchak told him to leave, and Rivka, he went to Charan to be with Lavan, and he had to struggle for his parnasa, how to make a living, and how to support his family, and how to raise his children in that foreign environment, you know, how to be raised from children in Charan. Charan is full of Ovdei Avodah Zarah and Mafia. It was way before Torah was given, so it wasn't the Bible that you can say the Goyim had any idea of what's right or wrong. They were all murderers and gangsters and mafia. He had to raise from children over there. So it's a big challenge. So you face the challenge of being in a hostile environment in the big world. But he had to do it. So that's basically what Rabbi Belkin and the Rav were saying. Yeshiva's yeshiva. You don't compromise the yeshiva. You learn Torah, Yosheva Holen. And when you go out to the big world, you're in the big world. Now you have to do the big world the Torah way. That's why the Torah has two parts. One part is Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah, we sit with the safe open. What's irrelevant, what's going on in the world? It's mamish irrelevant. But mitzvos, what are mitzvos going out into the world? Right now, the Daf Yomi, which I think I have a chus to do, is learning Ezer and Neshech, all the laws of interest, ribbis. So many different cases of how you give money to somebody, you advance money, and he uses it, and there's a certain reward for giving him the money. And have the questions, you know how to take interest, you have to give free loans. Meanwhile, investments, you can how to make a profit in investments. So there must be a lot of time when one person has someone else's money. Is it an investment? Is it a loan? If it's an investment with profit, then it's okay. If it's a loan with interest, it's not okay. A lot of times the cases look almost exactly the same. Sometimes it looks very much almost the same, where based on the conditions of how he invested, or the guy put down the money and the other fellow is using the money for a business. Sometimes it looks like a loan, sometimes it looks like an investment, sometimes a borderline, and that's what most of the Perek is trying to work out. So it's real life, it's real life. Sitting in the Beis Medrash is not relevant. It's real life. You go out to get a job as an investment banker, and a Jew comes in and you have an issue. I said, if it's a loan, I can't take interest or pay interest. And if it's an investment, I can do it. So you have to, how do you structure it? It's real life. Very interesting. Today's daf is very fascinating because the Gemara wants to say, in a certain kind of a situation, with orphans, you want it. Orphans, they did allow to do certain things which other people can't. They say, find a rich man that he'll be the investor to invest for the orphans. So how do you know if he's a rich man? So they can. It's so real. Moses says he might be. He has gold. Put it in his safe. He has pieces of gold, and people know he has gold. So you know that he's a rich man. Or the Moses says he has a lot of real estate. He holds a lot of real estate, so he's probably a rich man. You can rely. He won't bother him if he loses the money, which is being invested for the orphans. So anyway, the Gemara is very real when it comes to mitzvos. That's the second half of Yaakov's life. Second half. Mitzvos. But I want to bring out like this, that's what the Rav and Rabbi Belkin was saying. You can't expect a fellow to go out into the big world and do the mitzvos of the challenges of real life if he doesn't have at his base a good yeshiva, pure, unadulterated, solid yeshiva learning foundation. If he has a good, solid yeshiva foundation, he'll go out into the big world, he'll keep the mitzvos. If he doesn't have it, if it's a wishy-washy, compromise, make-believe, but not real, then life will be unfortunately very challenging. He might not be strong enough to stand up as over time. That's why we have to make sure that when we teach the Torah, we teach it strong. And when we teach the Torah strong, he'll be able to go out and be strong in real life. That's the theory. Okay, now let's do a little Shem and Shmuel, because he has some very interesting things here. We see that Yaakov struggles. There were two opponents in the real life stage of his life. Are two people who are his antagonists. One is Esav, and one is Lavan. So the question is, the Hasidish question, what do these opposing antagonistic forces represent? Why did Hashem make that he had to have two opponents? Couldn't have one? Just Esav. Just love. Must have to have Esav as one opponent and one antagonist, and love one as another one. Oh. So he says like this. He says, we know from Hasidus that Avraham is Midas HaChesed, and Yitzchak is Midas HaDin, and Yaakov is a combination of Chesed and Din. That's called Tiferes, or some people call it Rachamim. Put together, Chesed means just good giving, without any questions. Din is strict, the person has to deserve whatever he gets, and Rachamim is some kind of combination of din with chesed. The chesed modifies the din chesed, get rachamim. So Avram is one, it's called Avram is the right side, Yitzchak is the left side, because rachamim, I mean chesed is on the right, and din is on the left in the Kabbalah, and the middle is rachamim, is Yaakov. So I have Avram on the right side, and Yitzchak on the left, and Yaakov is in the middle. It's called chesed, gevura, and rachamim. That's how the Kabbalah sets it up. Okay. So now like this. Esav. Now, there's another basic principle in Kabbalah and Hasidus. Now it's like this. Every good energy that Hashem made, either, right now I would say unfortunately for us, but in the long run maybe, unfortunately, every good midah has a mirror image of a bad midah. Let's take chesed. Chesed is wonderful, but chesed le'umim chatos, you could take chesed and pervert it. You do chesed to let criminals get off the hook. He's a criminal. He killed somebody. You say, have chesed. He was angry. He got upset, so he killed him. Have chesed. Chesed could be, for example, chesed has a lot to do with Ava. You love people, so you give chesed. So you take the midah of chesed and Ava, and you pervert it into what's called the love of the movies, romantic love. Not real, it's a perversion, it's an excuse to do sex. So every good midah has the reverse. So let's say din, good din, you have to have real justice, but then you can have wicked din. Like the Arab jihadists. They think it's din. Meanwhile, they kill, blow up innocent people because of their perverted sense of justice. So every midah has the reverse. And that's a big problem because we have to choose the midah and use it the right way, but we're going to always be tempted to use it the wrong way. God made the good thing and something opposite, which looks good, but it's a distortion. So now like this. Since Yaakov Avinu was the combination of chesed and din, he has to be tested with the perversion of chesed and the perversion of din. So Esav is the perversion of din. He's strong, but he uses his strength to dominate and hurt other people. So he's din. But he uses the din the wrong way. So that's one opponent of Yaakov. And Lavan is the perversion of chesed. Lavan is the perversion of chesed. Could someone come up and explain why Lavan is the perversion of chesed? Yeah.
Well, doesn't Lavan tell Yaakov that he can keep all the sheep that are born, and every single time he switches what type of sheep they are?
Right. He sounds good. He sounds like he's being so generous. I'm saying what you said. He sounds so generous. Oh, you can keep any sheep which has any spot. So I'm sure most sheep are not pure white. Most sheep have a spot. But then, when Yaakov takes a few sheep, he says, I meant blue spots. None of these sheep have blue spots. So he changed. Yes.
But that doesn't sound like what we said the perversion of din was. Din is like, I mean, not din, but chesed. You said it was like chesed, like overgiving.
Wrong giving. Yeah. So I'll give you an example where he makes a deal with Yaakov to give him Rachel, and he gets Yaakov to work for 7 years. Sounds very good. And then he puts in Leah instead, tricks Yaakov, and he says, well, you can trick me with my wife? He says, yeah, how can I let Leah be insulted? She's the older one. I had to switch her. So he sounds like he's a Baal Chesed. He's helping Leah out. But meanwhile, he wanted to get Yaakov to do another 7 years. He says, no, I want Rachel. You already got Leah. Give me another 7 years. So he uses chesed in a perverted way. In other words, he sounds like he's a nice guy, and it sounds like he's helpful, but really, it's his being nice is just a method of getting advantage. But we call the politicians, you know, what the Mishnah calls Rashus, people of the Rishus, the politicians. They sound nice, but really they're trying to get power. And once they get the power, you don't know what they're going to do. They always sound nice. They always talk chesed. I'm here to help the world. But meanwhile, when he gets into power, he's putting away billions of dollars in his own private bank account, like they see from all these, many, many times, all these people who, especially in the third world countries, they always speak so nice. Say Fidel Castro, revolution, he's going to save the poor people, against the rich. Meanwhile, he wins. And then he becomes the richest man. He puts all the billions of dollars into his own bank account. The poor people stay poor. Same thing by the communists back in 1918, Lenin and Trotsky and all these guys, they made speeches, we're going to take away from the rich and spread to the poor. So they come in, people stayed poor, but meanwhile they became rich, the communists. So this is the perversion of chesed, where you sound that you want to do good, but really it's just a tool to get ahead, to get your way. It's very common. This is the phony politicians. I'm not saying every politician is like this, but there's enough of them who've been around for many, many years in many countries, many places, including America, and we suffer from it, for the phony chesed. That's lover. Actually, Chazal said that Lavan had a Gilgul, he turned into Bilam. If you ever read the story by Bilam, you see Bilam always talks very nicely. I'm going to do what Hashem wants, and I'm only going to listen to Hashem. But meanwhile, he goes to get money, gold and silver, to curse the Jews. He knows Hashem doesn't want to curse the Jews, but he's going to somehow manipulate it. But he talks beautifully. So that's the phony chesed. The phony chesed. Like Chazal say by these politicians, they sound nice and they make you feel good when they talk, but when you really need them, they're not there because it's against their own interests. They only sound good and nice because to advance themselves. You really need them, and it's not in their interest. They're not there. They're not there. All of a sudden, he's not there. Doesn't answer your phone calls. So Yaakov Avinu, he had a struggle with both. Struggle with din, which was a bad din, that's Esav, and the struggle with Lavan, which is a bad chesed. So he wants to say a vort. How are you supposed to do that? This is very tough. How is he supposed to defeat an Esav? It's a gangster with knives and guns, 400 gangsters with him. How's he? Well, Lavan with all the sweet talking. Yaakov is an Ish Emes. He believes what people say. Meanwhile, the guy's running circles around him. How are we supposed to do this? It's a big kasha. How are we supposed to do this? You guys are going to have the challenge. You go out to the big world, and people are running circles around you because they're lying, taking advantage, sound good, and you're all there. They're going to pull a fast one on you. That's the way it is. Recently I had a certain thing with the bank, for no reason in the world, put a knife into whatever the charity accounts, closed it down. After they closed it down, there's no reason. But then the guy says, no, we closed you down, you're out. Then he says, what else can I do for you today, Rabbi? You have to speak nicely. So that he was trained. What else can I do after he puts a knife and cuts you down? What else can I do for you? It happens all the time. With phone, when you get out in the world, you see.
I had a phone call today like that.
Right. It's amazing. The culture is the culture of love on. You sound nice. Meanwhile, you're putting knives in people's backs. But as long as you sound nice. It's phony chesed, the chesed of the politician. The Mishnah tells us, recommends, stay away from it. Anyway, how are you supposed to defeat this? We're gullible, we're not trained in this school, right? And when you go out into the big world, we don't want our boys to go out there and become like this, chas v'shalom. So he says a big secret, the Shem Shmuel. That's why it says Yaakov Ishtam. Ishtam. Ishtam means he was simple. He was relying on Hashem. So I can't compete with these sharpies, with these guys who are cheats and sharp deceivers. How can I compete with them? I can't do their things. So in this case, but one, there's one that can beat them easily. That's Hashem. So if I, how would I get Hashem to take up my case and get me through unscathed by all these phonies out there trying to take advantage and defeat me in an unjust way by being a tam, ishtam, just rely on Hashem in a simple way. He said, I can't compete with them. I have no strategy. I can't come up with a strategy to beat them. What will I do? Tam. I'm a tam. I go straight and Hashem protects me. That's the koach of Yaakov. He's a tam. He's tam. And he says, there's a Gemara in Chulin. Gemara says that sometimes people have to become like an animal. In other words, stop thinking, just rely on Hashem simply. Stop thinking, it's too complicated, you can't figure it out. These guys are 10 steps ahead of you and you will never be able to do it. Be a tam, be like a behemoth, the Gemara says in Chulin. Does behemoth think? No, behemoth doesn't think of it. The cow moves, it chews its grass, doesn't think much. And Hashem will take care of you. It says, even though Yaakov was a Yosef Rahalim, he had tremendous intellect. He was a very bright man. But that's not going to work. Not against these scoundrels. So you can't use you can't outwit them. That's their whole wisdom is put into being a scoundrel. You can't compete with them and their machinations and their plots and plans. So but the solution is to be a tam. Be a behemoth. I don't think. I'm just following what Hashem says. I do what's right. Hashem will take care. He says that's what Yaakov was by Lavan. He wasn't trying to compete with Lavan by outwitting him. No.
But don't we say that in the end he does?
What?
In the end he does with the sheep.
Hashem told him to do that. Hashem, he was being cheated right and left by loving with the sheep. So Hashem made that all of a sudden, overnight, every sheep gave birth the spats, all different kinds of spats. Whatever Lavan said, he had them because Hashem made black spats and blue spats and lines and other things, round spats. So whatever Lavan said he had, that he tells Rachel and Leah, he says, I had a vision. I saw an angel coming and making the sheep become spats. He couldn't do it himself. Hashem did it. That's what he says. Yes.
So what about the 7 years that he lost for being Tom and just agreeing?
Oh, that's a very good, you know, it's a sharp question. Right. He says like this. He says that you ask the question, why about these extra years? He says there was a gzeir from Shemayim that he had to spend 20 years in Lavan's house.
That's an answer to the question.
And during these 20 years, he had to keep his tamimus, his naivete and being simple, faithful to Hashem. He had to spend 20 years doing it. Because sometimes a person can keep his faith and his simple trust in Hashem for X number of years, but you make it X plus Y, it's too much, you can't do it. So Yaakov was given an extra 7 years, etc., and even the sheep took another 6 years to get the sheep. Hashem didn't save him right away. He hit a very important point. The point is like this, you know, we would like me and you and everybody else, we would like this strategy. I trust in Hashem, which is a good strategy for us because we're raised this way. You know, we say a brachas 100 times a day, and we're davening, and we live basically our lives that way. We would like, you know, get into a situation which is dangerous and very bad. If I trust Hashem, Yeshua Hashem Keheref Ayin, there's a puzzle. Hashem saves you in the blink of an eye. In this moment, Yeshua comes right away. We would like that. However, unfortunately for us, I think I'm allowed to say unfortunately for us, it doesn't always happen. Once in a blue moon, Hashem says, you trust me, I take care of you right away. Boom. Most of the time, Hashem wants us to have long-term trust. Long term, and the Yeshua comes only later, after the Zman, whatever the Zman was. It's one of the challenges of being a Tam, or in other words, use our Amuna and Betachem, having trust. The Shem is that many times it requires investment of Zman, have to invest time and wait. See, peace of Yeshua. There's another pasuk. One pasuk says, Yeshua is Hashem keherifayim. Hashem saves in a second. Another pasuk says, see, peace of Yeshua. Wait for the Yeshua. When is it in the moment? When does it take a long time? I don't know. We pray that we get the Yeshua right away. But we have to be ready that sometimes Yeshua takes a very long time. In Yaakov Avinu's case was 20 years. 20 years is a long time to wait for the Yeshua and not to give in to all the environment around him where everybody is stealing and cheating. And that's how people survived over there by Lavan, that whole area. Everybody was cheating everybody else. And you have to remain honest. Yaakov Avinu spells it out. I remained honest all 20 years. I stayed up late at night with the sheep. And if any sheep got sick or was killed, I paid for it out of my own pocket, even though maybe I didn't have to. He stayed loyal to his job for 20 years. His boss was cheating him. He didn't say, the boss cheats me, I'll cheat him back. No. He remained honest for 20 years. He remained Tam. Do the right thing. Hashem didn't really completely get him with the Yeshua. for 20 years, and sometimes he had, like you said, an extra 7 years. He didn't expect that extra 7 years. It popped up. He had to keep the... That's the nisayon of being the tam. That's part of the nisyonos of a Jew in this world. The time which it takes to get the Yeshua. Yeah.
So, when we're talking about this, I kind of think of... like relationships with people, a lot of time, like you have people that are acting like love on, like Jews, you know, and like when you just act, like very like, when you just say okay, a lot of time it affects them, either immediately or over time, like you just say okay, and you go with whatever the thing is, and like, you know, their good side eventually comes out and they start to be real. But sometimes, like you see a clear scenario, like I'm about to lose 7 years if I just go with this, you know, and like, you sometimes you do just lose it, and like to go into something saying like it's a gezeira that I'm supposed to be here for 20 years, like
yes, yeah, Yaakov, listen, Yaakov is the model of for everybody. He's the paragon, the highest possible level of ishtam and holech tamim. That it's also pasuk holech tamim. Person walks with simple trust in Hashem and will not change his simple faith and his loyalties because of what everybody else around him is doing, no matter what. So Yaakov has a very, very, very difficult and very extreme situation because he's the model for everybody else. But with other people, hopefully, don't have such a hard situation to go from. 20 years like that, you know. But Yaakov has to do it because he has to be the model for everybody. Because he's Maisa Avos, Simon Abonim, the Avs, the three Avos. So he has to be the model of being a Holech Tamim, going with Tamimus in a world full of snakes and scorpions. And he's a Tam. He goes with simple faith and with simple loyalties. Doing the right thing, even though no one else appreciates it, people take advantage of him. He's the most extreme model of this. Now, we wouldn't be able to do it, I don't think, so well, like him. So everybody, Lefi his Madrega, everybody based on where he's at, should try to go this way of Yaakov, to be a Holech Tamim. It seems, being stupid, people are going to take advantage, but how can I compromise? I'm not allowed to compromise my beliefs and values because other people will think that it's better because they don't have belief in Hashem. I do. It's a very big challenge. Yes?
Eventually he got up and left and ran away in the middle of the night.
Yeah, again, he said the Malach Hashem told him to go. So at the end, basically what happened for him at the end, because it was such a difficult, extreme situation over there, that Hashem sent him a Malach, means he had a prophetic vision. And the Malach, which was Hashem's messenger, told him, first of all, I took care of all the sheep, you don't have to worry, you're getting the sheep, which is the deal, we took care of it. And second, leave. You were here long enough, don't tell love and anything, don't go say goodbye to him, just go. Yes?
Don't some say that this whole thing was a punishment because how he talked to his father with trickery, so this whole 20 years was...
Right. There is such a view in the Chazal. It's mentioned, I think, in Rashi one place. Rashi's a paradox. Usually, most of the time, he says, Yaakov did the right thing. But in one place, he says he was punished 20 years to be in a place and suffer from trickery and shenanigans and all of this as a punishment for tricking his father. That's true. That's true. That's one of the opinions in Rashi, yes.
Even though he was told by his mother to do that?
Yeah, this opinion thinks he was wrong. He should not have listened to his mother. There's a machlokas in the Mefarshim. The vast majority, including Rashi, say he was right to listen to his mother. But there is one view that he was wrong, and that this was a punishment. But the Shemesh Shmuel doesn't say that. We're not saying that. We're just saying it's part of the test of being a tzaddik is that you have to keep your principles in an antithetical, antagonistic world, a world which doesn't have these values and principles, and they're gaining advantages because they don't. You're supposed to keep it because, and you're supposed to use your faith in Hashem as your pillar to keep the values that you think are right. And in the long run, Hashem will take up your cause and will give you what you deserve. That's the story. That's the Shemesh Shmuel's interpretation of the story, not a punishment. This is basically his challenge of life, living in the big world. And we can even say that it's true even today. Maybe the biggest challenge of the big world for us is maintaining our values in a world which doesn't practice those values. We have to keep our values, the Torah values. That's our biggest challenge when you go out. It's very interesting. It hasn't changed. This is still the biggest challenge. It was and is and probably will be always the biggest challenge. How do you keep your values? You can keep the values if you're just in the yeshiva and you're talking theory, but get out there and see how people are cheating and making a lot of money, and you don't. You don't go down that road. That's hard. Especially when you're a victim of the cheating. You still need then to feel very challenged to stay firm and firm. And every so often it comes out, a scandal, how a religious fellow is caught by the police for being a big cheat and a thief. Now really, I'm sure he's not worse than many others in his business, but they picked him for whatever the reason to be the guy that they're going to prosecute. And then all the religious Jews are upset. Oh, it's a Chilul Hashem. But the truth is that a lot of people make these compromises. He happened to be the one guy who was caught, but a lot of people don't stick to the values with the pressure. There's a pressure. A lot of times it's even religious pressure, because his neighbor made a wedding which cost $200,000, because his neighbor is a little bit of a cheat in business. And he has to live up to his neighbor. He also needs to make a $200,000 wedding for his daughter. So he also has to cheat a little bit. If he wouldn't cheat, he wouldn't get the money to be equal to the neighbor. So these are the kinds of things going on which are pressuring people to give up their values. It wasn't easy for Yaakov, it's not easy for us, it's very difficult. It's a mitzvah of tamimus. That I believe in the value and I know Hashem is taking care and I'm going to stick to it no matter what. It's a very, very, very big thing. That's why the Torah says, the first thing it tells us about Yaakov, Ishtam. And it says Yosher Lali. The first thing, Ishtam. He was simple in his values. Once he had them, that's it. Simple. It doesn't seem to work, doesn't seem to pay. That's what he knows is the right thing to do. And Hashem is the big boss. The big boss will take care of it in the right time. It's fantastic. Alavai, we should all be zocher to be holech tamim.